Taco Monday doesn't have the same ring to it as Taco Tuesday, but apparently the timing didn't work out as well for President Trump today, and we had it on Monday. Yesterday, after we were on the air here, President Trump posted on Truth Social again that I have been asked. I wasn't going to, but I have been asked by the Emir of Qatar, Prince of Saudi Arabia, and the President of the UAE to hold off on our planned military attack of the Islamic Republic of Iran, which was scheduled for tomorrow, i.e. today. And he goes on to say a bunch of other stuff, and it's really all of it, anything that follows there. Actually, all of it is just a lot of nonsense. We've been here before. President Trump was allegedly getting close. Even in yesterday's show, we said, you know, things could be moving down. We could be within 48-hour window, potentially, of returning to combat operations based on a lot of things that were going on. And then President Trump said, yeah, how about no hours? And this is not the first time this has happened. I mean, here's just a couple of them. This first one here on April 21st, Trump says the U.S. will extend its ceasefire with Iran at Pakistan's request because the period was going to come to an end and we're supposed to go back to combat operations. And President Trump says, you know what? Because somebody else asked me, Pakistan in this case, I'm going to not go back to war, because they said, recall, they said that we were really close to an agreement, that the Iranian side had agreed to nearly everything. We just need a little more time. April 21st. Now, here we are nearly a month later. Still no deal. Then we had the short-lived in the early part of May, this operation on Project Freedom, the operation moving things through the Strait of Hormuz. That barely lasted a day. And then he says, yeah, we're going to do that, too, because, again, somebody asked us to do it. And every time, you know, somebody asked me to do something and to give peace a chance, and he keeps saying all this stuff about they're almost agreed to. They want peace. They're begging us for a deal. How many times have you heard that? And it's never been true. And it's not true now. In fact, it's people around the world are not buying this anymore. Even a lot of President Trump supporters are no longer buying this. I think some still are, but even that support is pretty tepid. They can see that it just means nothing. And when you talk all this nonsense, and have all these posts just rolling through his feed there about, you know, how he's got a red button and he's about to fire some missiles and Space Force and being the captain of a ship attacking speedboats or blowing up stuff on the ground, you name it, all this stuff is nonsense because there's no reality to any of it. And I think that people are starting to come to an understanding of what's going on, that there is no military solution to this war. And the problem set not being the nuclear weapons issue, the problem being that Trump wants capitulation from Tehran. He wants regime change or regime submission like he got in Venezuela. That is his actual objective. Whether that is directly from from Tel Aviv, from Benjamin Netanyahu, or a joint decision, I don't know. Historians will tell us authoritatively that one day. They are definitely in it together. That much we know for certain. But their objective is that, the capitulation or submission of the state of Iran, period. All this other stuff, all this stuff about, oh, well, it's about the long range weapons. It's about the proxies. It's about the nuclear dust. You name it. All that is just fodder for the public statements. The reality is it's about submission. Here's now the real problem. That's kind of the problem, what you want to happen. But the actual problem is that we now know for certain there is no military solution, because everything that we have, we trotted out in that first about 40 days. And there has been some chatter going on in some of the pro-war crew here these days, and some of the public mainstream media in the U.S. saying, look, we have recalibrated now. We have now more intelligence. We now know where all of these missile factories are, these underground situations. We know where the tunnels are and stuff for these underground speedboats. So we know more than we knew then, and we have more ammunition and more weapons than we had at the beginning of the 40 days. And this time, it's going to be different. That's what they're saying. The reality is, I'm going to throw the BS flag on that one. That's a 15-yard personal foul. You may know a little bit more incrementally. You would be foolish if you didn't. You would be incompetent if you didn't know more, because it should be a constant collection. But the fact is, we knew where all of these things, or the majority of them, were before. The problem isn't not knowing where they are. The problem is knocking them out. So you tell me, you don't have to be a military expert at all, just a common sense human being. If there is a facility that's buried deep within a granite mountain that's designed to endure a nuclear blast and continue to survive, and that you try for about 40 days, 20 times on one particular facility that's been reported publicly with conventional weapons, and you never succeeded at knocking it out, and they apparently have 33 of those lined up across their shoreline in the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman. Now, if you couldn't knock it out with conventional weapons then, why do you think that you can throw more missiles of the same category at the same target, a mountain, and have a different result the next time? It's irrational, it's illogical, and it's foolish to try. And I think my guess is that the reason why Trump did this time is because enough of the military people are telling him, Mr. President, if you give that order, we'll launch them, we'll hit targets. And there's other things on the surface we could hit, and we can kill more people, but we can't get the ones that matter. We cannot take out a mountain with conventional weapons. We just don't have the wherewithal to do that. They're designed just like our underground facilities are designed to endure much more than we have to put conventionally. Even nuclear weapons wouldn't work. So why does anyone think that a conventional weapon will do what it didn't do the first time? It won't. And I think President Trump is now figuring that out. The question is, where is he going to go now? You know, it's interesting. He said this comment about, I was asked by the Gulf states here. Greg Carlstrom here, he's from The Economist. He's a writer for that. And he said several Gulf allies from some of the countries Trump mentioned said they were not aware of an imminent plan to attack Iran, he described. And one can imagine that they're also saying, and I don't remember that we asked you not to attack something that we didn't know was going to be attacked. You see what I'm saying here? Just like that, oh, Pakistan asked me to not go back to war at the end of the alleged ceasefire period, or that all these other people asked me not to stop this, the Project Freedom. Every time he says that, the people on the ground are just scratching their head like, I don't know who he's talking about. So that shows you what the reality is. I just told you what the military reality is. But let's also take a look at the Iranian side here. But actually, no, before I get to that, there's one other thing here. Let me show you where President Trump's mind still is after this conversation and what he's still myopically focused on.
Other countries have come to me and they've said we were getting ready to do a very major attack tomorrow. I've put it off for a little while, hopefully maybe forever, but possibly for a little while, because we've had very big discussions with Iran, and we'll see what they amount to. I was asked by Saudi Arabia, Qatar, UAE, and some others if we could put it off for 2 or 3 days, a short period of time, because they think that they are getting very close to making a deal. And if we can do that where there's no nuclear weapon going into the hands of Iran, I think, and if they're satisfied, we will be probably satisfied also. We've informed Israel. We've informed other people in the Middle East that have been involved with us. And, it's a very positive development, but we'll see whether or not it amounts to anything. We've had periods of time where we thought pretty much getting close to making a deal and didn't work out. But this is a little bit different. Now, we're ready going tomorrow, very big, and not something I wanted to do, but we have no choice because we cannot let Iran have a nuclear weapon.
That he's it's just imprinted in his DNA, in his brain cells now, that it just, I mean, I suspect if someone asks him what he wants for lunch, he will say Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. There is no nuclear weapon. There never was a nuclear weapon. There wasn't a nuclear weapons program. They never had one. 47 years, they never had one. So there was no imminent threat from which he saved it. Just because there was no program, number one. Number two, the nuclear energy program that they did have and the reprocessing capabilities that they did have, which could have been escalated to nuclear weapons grade had they been left unattended, that was destroyed last year, or at least severely set back. Not completely destroyed, because you can't destroy the intellectual capacity, because they can replace literally everything and good if they wanted to, but so far they haven't. I have been surprised that they haven't done it now. I kind of thought that when this war started, that would have been the final blow, and that would have pushed them covertly to start actually making. I thought it would have made them run to a nuclear bomb as a means of deterrent. Several other experts we've had on our show say that actually even still, there's many in Iran that says, no, that still isn't in our advantage because it would cause a potential nuclear arms race, which would make their security even less than it is now. But with control of the Strait of Hormuz, that kind of acts as the nuke option without actually having the nuclear weapon issue. And so they don't need it right now. But one never knows if that's going to happen later on. But the bottom line is there isn't one now. So when you keep saying that you're predicating this whole war on something that doesn't exist, then you're also predicating getting out on something that doesn't exist, too, making it more difficult for us to withdraw. Now, Iran, I think in just a show we showed you just a couple of days ago, they again have reiterated, we have no interest in having a nuclear weapon. And so at the government level, they're continuing to say that. So they said that's not on the table for us. So how can we take off or submit to something that isn't even on the table from our side? You see how it's making this more complicated. And this one other soundbite I wanted to play you from that interview here, where you see one other thing that President Trump is focused on, which also complicates the matter.
We're not going to let Iran have a nuclear weapon. So I was called by these three countries plus others, and they're dealing directly with our people and right now Iran. And there seems to be a very good chance that they can work something out. If we can do that without bombing the hell out of them, I'd be very happy.
No, no, no. There is no, we're about to make a deal. We're not really close, and they're working with us. They're not. The only thing the Iranian side has done, and they have reiterated here recently, they have reiterated it after this statement, which some of which I'm going to show you in a second, is here are conditions for your surrender. We'll negotiate those. We'll talk to you about those. But that's where we are. That's what we're willing to negotiate about. So when President Trump says there's a deal close at hand, the only deal that could be close at hand is if we submitted to all of the terms that the Iranians have set. And that is, we withdraw from the region. We pay war reparations. They retain control of the Strait of Hormuz. And frozen assets are released. And they still be able to have their relations with their proxies. They still say that they're not going to do a nuclear weapon. Even then, they say that. But they also say this reprocessed material, that is our sovereign right as a country, as the signatory of the NPT, and we're going to keep all to that. We'll figure that out, too. So basically, you get nothing that you want other than no nuclear weapon. So I guess in that sense, there is something on there. But to get to that point, to get a negotiated end to where both sides would stop the fighting would require the U.S. to do that, because I think that the Iranian side realizes that time is on their side, that they, if it goes back to conflict, they will suffer much more as every day this blockade is on. They're suffering more. They're having high unemployment. They're having a lot of inflation. I mean, it's really causing a lot of problems, but they've been down this path before. They have experience and haven't endured this for a long period of time. We're barely 2 months in. Not barely even started. They can go a lot longer. But when you look at the global energy markets and you look at the price of oil, let me see today, last I checked, it was 108. So even with President's quote taco, this time it didn't fall down. In fact, it might not have fallen down by any at all. That's how his words are no longer having the effect. You remember the last time he said this, it was a 9% drop. It went huge down, like $9 a drop for a period of time. Now that even the markets are starting to see there's no reality to this. So then the question is, where are we going to go? What is next? Well, let me show you. I showed you what President Trump thinks. Let's see what some of the regional allies think. And let's start first with the University of Tehran professor who's out front a lot, along with Professor Mirandi, who we have on our show, is Professor Azidi, who kind of laid out how Iran's viewing this.
This is the fifth time that Trump is doing this. Last time he did this was on May 5th, the day earlier, he had announced that he would do Operation Project Freedom, escorting ships. And then he canceled that idea of it in 24 hours. And I think the main reason, last time he said Pakistan is asking him to do that. I think the main reason, the main problem is that there are no military solutions to this conflict. He did that for about 37 days, bombing Iran with full force. He had Israelis helping him, killing a lot of people, more than 3,500 civilians. And then he didn't achieve much except killing a lot of people. And then he has this problem of the Strait of Hormuz not being open the way he wants it open.
Yeah, and that is a problem there. So you see, that's again, that's not an official, but that's somebody who's in contact with the senior government. Because obviously they want him, they want Professor Mirandi out there to an English language speaking public to be able to say, here's our view. Now, again, like we say, with all the stuff to include with the Americans, I take nobody at face value, but we must listen to them to see what they're saying there and then compare that with reality on the ground. And when we do that, then the view of the U.S. side and the Israeli side and the Iranian side, the one that comes a lot closer to looking like what we see on the ground in reality, unfortunately, is the Iranian side. Now, that's from somebody who's not directly in the government. Let's see who is in the government at the highest levels. This was right about the time. I don't remember if this came out just before or just after President Trump issued that Truth Social yesterday. But this is President Pezeshkian, who says, we will never bow our heads to any power under any circumstances. And we engage in dialogue, but with dignity. And then several other kind of things are to the importance of unity, et cetera. But the bottom line is that he's saying, we're not going to negotiate under any kind of freedom. We're not going to be able to, we're not going to bow the knee to anyone under pressure. Meaning if you come back with this military stuff, we will endure it, but we will still not bow. And that is someone who, you know, when you've already hit somebody with your best shot and they're still standing, now then they have a lot more confidence that they can endure it again because they know what it is. They know what it looks like. And of course, you know, we're primarily so far have gone after their military sites like these mountains, et cetera, because that's where the missiles are they use to control the Strait of Hormuz and to attack everybody in the region. So that was one of the primary targets, even more so than the so-called nuclear program, because that was the one that they could use to harm people. We can't do it. They now, Iranians, see we can't do it. So they have been validated that their plans for a couple of decades have borne fruit, and they see that we can't take that fruit from them. So now then the question is, how willing is the side that recognizes that you're not going to be able to take away its ace and you want them to give away everything? And there's no way that they're going to do that. A couple of others here. This is from the ISNA, the Iranian news agency, who's saying that, you know, the iron fist of the powerful armed forces in the great Iranian nation will force them to retreat and surrender. So you see, it's going beyond now. We're not going to bow the knee to anybody. To now then, they're a little bit more cocky and saying, actually, we're asking for your surrender. And as I told you, the terms that they've given amount to a surrender and a acknowledgement that the war failed, not just that it didn't succeed, but that it outright failed, and that they're asking for our surrender. Their army, this is just this morning here, army spokesman, if this is the official Iranian army, not the IRGC, they have separate sort of branches of the military. If the enemy is foolish enough to fall into the Israelis' trap and launch another aggression, we will open new fronts against them with new methods. And there's been a number of things that have been talked about what that could be. There's a supposition of some new categories of missiles. There was even some claims on some X post the other day or yesterday that they might even have ICBMs and it can actually hit targets in America. I doubt that because those are some things you have to do a lot of missile testing to validate that the platforms can go that far unless they were given some by either China or Russia. I guess that's a possibility, but it is pretty likely that they have some things that we don't know about and some things that could actually be used against us. But the more important thing is that the new target set, because we know that the existing missile inventory, which certainly has continued to grow in the days since the ceasefire was formed, first signed in April, you're sure that because they have their manufacturing capacity underground where it can't be knocked out from the sky. So the likelihood is to continue on. You've seen a lot of the stuff from CNN, from New York Times, Washington Post, all of whom have said their analysis shows that there is a substantially larger percentage of the Iranian missile program than we ever thought before, like around 75% or so. That's probably a good number. It seems pretty reasonable that it is. That's one of the things it's plausible based on what we have physically observed. Therefore, they can hit what they shoot at. Whatever you have with air defense interceptor missiles, that whatever percentage is actually getting through, we claim 90%. Professor Ted Postol on our show says it's more like 5%. Who knows what the right number is, but what we know for an absolute fact, validated, is that whatever the number that is that gets through, it is pinpoint accurate. Therefore, when they say that they will next go after energy infrastructure and oil facilities and the production facilities, not just the storage tanks, but the facilities to actually process crude oil, get it shipped out, et cetera, pipelines, all this, desalinization plants, that's the biggest danger, the biggest risk. Because, with that, that's probably more important than oil. I mean, the oil is for your economy, but that water, your people won't live if they don't have it in sufficient quantities. And it will be really hard to get that much water in for any country that they knock out, the Iran side knocks out. But that's what they're saying. They say we will hit all of those things, to include our ally Israel, along with the other GCC countries, and further hit American bases, they say. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to put Iran to the test when they have validated and demonstrated the capacity to do exactly what they've said? And so far, when they have said they were going to do something in retaliation to something we have launched, they have done that. They've made other claims about things that they have done. They claim to have blown up a bunch of our ships and hit a bunch of damaged stuff. And at least so far, we haven't seen any actual evidence of that. And they've claimed a lot of it. So that may not be true. And again, we have to validate what we can know on the ground. So far, we don't have any actual evidence that those attacks were actually hit home, that a ship was actually damaged and hit by missile fire, or rated missile fire. But when they have said what they're going to do if they get hit, yeah, man, they followed through. And so that's something that we need to really pay attention to. Let's take a look at one other thing here, because that's what the Iranian side is saying. I just showed you what President Trump has said here. Now, who do you think is the most unhappy today because President Trump made that statement yesterday? Israel. Okay, fair enough. Probably Israel is the biggest unhappy because we know that they want this to go on. But the other problem is his allies. I saw yesterday afternoon a short clip on Fox News. I don't have that one to show you here. But even some of his stalwart supporters, I think Brit Hume was one of them, and they were not happy. I mean, they were a little bit perplexed, and they have a hard time even voicing displeasure. They love to do that full-throated cheerleading stuff, and they were taken a little bit back because they're like saying, hey, we can't do this and because we can't leave without having that nuclear weapon program knocked out or getting that dust back, because he said that was non-negotiable and this ain't going to get it there. So they were a little bit muted in their criticism, but not all that much. So it still is a problem. But now then, let me show you. Oh, well, no, let me put this off here first. This is what Lindsey Graham has posted. And believe me, this is a shot across the bow, too. As I've said previously, this is his ex post yesterday. As I've said previously, any agreement reached between the United States and Iran must come before the Congress for approval, as was the case under the JCPOA. By the way, it wasn't. That's why Obama did it with executive order. That's why Trump could just undo it with an executive order. So he's wrong here. But he is saying this one would have to come through Congress for approval because that gives him veto power over it. So he's telling the president pretty straightforwardly that if I don't like these terms, me and my Senate colleagues, we're not going to pass this, and you're going to be stuck like Obama having to do an executive order, even if you get agreement on the Iranian side. He continues, if we can end the conflict through diplomatic means and achieve our national security objectives, i.e. their complete surrender, that would be a major accomplishment. But as I've said before, President Trump's position is clear. So now he's trying to say, now this is your deal, remember, and I agree with it. No enrichment. American control of the highly enriched uranium. Opening of the Strait of Hormuz. Iran must abandon long-range missile programs. Iran must end its support for all terrorist proxies in the region. In other words, that is absolute surrender. So you have the Iranian side saying that we'll have a negotiated settlement as long as you surrender to all of our maximalist terms. And then you have Lindsey Graham saying, we'll end the war on diplomatic means as long as you surrender to all of our diplomatic or all of our demands and abjectly surrender. Nobody's willing to do that. Therefore, there is no room for negotiation. President Trump is either lying or greatly deceived when he said in that Truth Social, we're really close to an agreement, because you couldn't have been farther away. We've never been farther away since this war started. which is saying something, because we were always far apart since the war started. Remember, we were really close and should have had a deal the day, 2 days before the war started, but we threw that in the trash. More on that another day. But in terms of where we are now, this is as far as we've been, and everybody's digging in. Now, the question is, where are we going to go from here? Now, Robert Gates, former Secretary of Defense, who's never been a big Trump supporter, is kind of playing wishy-washy here, but just kind of also showing you where other groups are in the United States in terms of this war and the issue of the nuclear weapons program, when he said this.
I don't think that the nuclear program in Iran poses an imminent threat. After all, we bombed it twice. The nuclear material is pretty deeply buried. You'd have to spin up, use the centrifuges to spin it from 60% enriched to over 90% enriched. The centrifuges are very sensitive. They're also mostly destroyed. Many of their nuclear scientists have been killed. So I don't think this is not a problem for tomorrow. But it does, you know, the president's got it right in terms of this is a long-term threat that cannot be allowed to develop.
So you see, he's kind of playing both sides, which is Robert Gates wasn't bad as Secretary of Defense. I had a number of problems with him. I was glad that he canceled the Future Combat System, for example, because he saw it just wasn't working. So at least he had the courage to do that. But he was kind of waffly on some other things. Here's kind of another one. He's like, well, there wasn't really an imminent threat that President Trump said. After all, we bombed it twice, et cetera. So he just said right there, said it was the fraudulent start of war, but he's kind of wishy-washy about it. I just wanted to be direct and say this is the truth, but he's wishy-washy about it. But then he kind of waffles back in the other direction but says, yeah, but I mean, you know, he kind of has a point, President Trump, because, I mean, they can't have a nuclear weapon. Mr. Gates, they didn't have a nuclear weapon. They didn't have a nuclear weapons program. And if you want them to never go to one, then quit freaking being their perpetual enemy for 47 years and trying to economically destroy them and now trying to physically destroy them. Going back to 2010 with a lot of the Stuxnet and some of the other kind of subterranean ways, if you will, that we tried to get the cyber attacks, those kinds of things. And then the assassination campaigns that Israel launched against their scientists and a bunch of other stuff. And then the physical attacks that started with their embassy in Syria, and then the assassinations in Tehran, and then our assassination of Soleimani in 2020. Every time we do, we keep doing more and more and more provocative action, giving them more reason to hate us and to resist us. And still, with all of those things, even through Operation Midnight Hammer, they still did not have a nuclear weapons program. Now, how much less likely are they to get one if we just start treating them like a normal country? And as long as you don't attack me, I'm not going to attack you. That's still possible. I mean, there's forget about trust. That's not going to happen. I could be elected president tomorrow. And even with my history of trying to be a straight shooter and my avowed statement that I'm going to do the right thing here, they're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe anybody with an American flag, because we have ruined it. Not just with President Trump, but going all the way back to virtually every administration, even the Obama administration, as much as it did. And I give it credit to this day for coming up with the JCPOA. Even then, we didn't exactly honor our word and what we were supposed to do on our side of that, even during his administration, much less afterwards. But we can live in peaceful coexistence. We can have stable relations that don't have them causing, you know, attacking ships in the Strait of Hormuz. It's probably also going to be a long time before we can get them to wrest control of it to where they don't charge this fee for passing through because of our actions. Actions have consequences, folks. We teach this to our children. But somehow when you become an adult and get elected to the Senate, House, or White House, somehow you think the rules don't apply. They do. And this is a graphic explanation of why. And so now this is stuff, because of our previous behavior, we're going to be paying for decades. The best thing we can do is to get this off the table now as rapidly as possible and start rebuilding trust, which will take years, if not decades, of consistent, honest integrity being displayed in our behavior, words and behavior lining up. But we can't even get to that mythical place if we don't take step one. That's what I'm arguing for. Let's get this war over with by whatever means. President Trump, forget about the taco. Just get this off the board. Claim victory. Just say, oh, yeah, we destroyed them, set them back 2 decades, whatever. He said a lot of this stuff before. Put that into effect. Let's get this war off the table. Withdraw our forces from the region. Get them out of harm's way. Iran will do what it's going to do. It will crow. You can't stop them from doing any of that. But we can stop our system from losing any more money, from losing any more men, from losing any more facilities, and from the flow of oil turning into a catastrophic shortfall and loss with the global economy that's going to happen if we don't get this thing back open by whatever means. It's going to happen. It can't be any other way. That's just how the system is designed. We need to get this thing over with, and we need to get it over with today. Thank you very much, folks. We'll continue to be bringing you any news we have as if anything breaks. Hopefully it won't. And I'll be back in the studio next week, ready to get back after it. Thanks very much, and I'll see you then on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.
You know we don't have sponsors because we hate to hit you over the head with ads. I don't like them. So show a little love back. Subscribe, like, and send this to somebody you care about.